I didn't talk about Nirvana for the first, you know, like 2 or 3 years of being a band. For lots of reasons. One, the biggest reason is that, you know, a good friend of mine died and I didn't just want to go and talk about it to everybody because I was still trying to work that out on my own, you know? And
did you talk to your band about it? Like, could you guys, like...
Well,
you
have
to be a friend, not just a bandmate at that point, right?
Yeah. We didn't talk about it all the time, but he... Not like in a dark way, really. Yeah. More like just telling me fun stories and anecdotes. And I would ask him about stuff because I was obviously a major fan and thought, you know, he was brilliant. So I would ask Dave a few questions here and there.
But it was also tough, too, because, you know, one of the things about starting this band was it was time to keep moving, you know? And after something like that happens, it's like you don't know how to recover from something like that. There's no textbook to help you through something as tragic and horrific as that. So,
and it's public.
Well, yeah, and so it was just time to keep playing, you know. I'd been in bands a long time before that. I wasn't ready to give up music, you know. Mm-hmm. And there were times where I really felt like it. It was hard to listen to music because I would just associate it with the death of a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. So there's that. But then also, you know, I wanted us to be a band, you know. I wanted, when they first found out that we had started this new band, they immediately wanted to do interviews. I'm like, there's nothing to can talk about yet, you know? Like, we've only practiced 6 times, and, you know, I don't have any funny, like, what's the crazy shit happened on tour stories. So it was like, let us be a band for a while, you know? Mm-hmm. But then after a while, I mean, it's a huge part of my life. I wouldn't be here now if it weren't for that. And personally, it's an enormous part of my life. Those experiences changed my life forever.
Well, you have a song on here called Let It Die, right?
Yeah, but see, that's the
thing.
Is it
about that? Or?
Well, here's the deal, is that for the longest time, I wouldn't talk about it. And then I started talking about it a little bit. And now, I'm open to talking about it, whatever you need to know, within limits. Mm-hmm. But then for the longest time, I wouldn't write lyrics that I thought people would associate with something like that. And with this record, and you know, having a kid actually has a lot to do with this. When you, for personally, having a kid, I feel like this new strength or confidence as a person. You know, there were things like fears and phobias I had before that used to keep me from doing things. I don't have time for that shit now. I gotta protect my daughter. I gotta provide for my daughter. I got to be a fucking man, you know?
Yeah.
And so there were all these things that I wouldn't do before because I was scared.
Well, that's the thing,
is I write a song called Let It Die, and it's about two people that fall apart. It's about someone that you feel helpless to their... to watching them throw it all away, you know? And I write something like that, and I look at it, and I go, God damn it, I'm gonna have to answer that question.
It sounds like Kurt and Courtney. That's what it sounds like, and the lyrics.
But can you imagine that in my life, how many people I've loved or lost or befriended?
I didn't think that at all when I heard
it. See, I knew when I wrote it, but that's the thing, is like, I can't keep this conversation from... I can't let this conversation keep me from writing anything. Mm-hmm. So, no, it's not about Kurt and Courtney.
I thought you were talking about the breakup of Creed.
No, that
would have to go and Let It Die.
That would have been a rock opera.
Why?
That would have been a double record right there.
Yeah.
What are you listening to?
That one's too painful to write. That's,
we're not ready to go there yet, are we?
No. Cool, so you got this record here. What I find interesting about this, and you're both fathers, right? You 17 months, your kid?
Like a little over a month and a half.
Yeah, I mean, that's an insanely new time. What does it feel like? Is it what he said it would be?
Yeah, I mean, your life does change in a really great way. You know, I mean, it's, it's your first one. So it's like just an experiment the whole time in a weird way. You know, am I doing this right? And a lot of times, they want their mother, and he's a boy, he wants his mom, so like, if I just try for like 15 minutes and he won't stop yelling at me, I just go, yeah. And I actually, the funniest thing was I had my first babysitting job, And I bugged Dave about it.
He goes, hey, what are you doing tomorrow night? I said, I don't know. He goes, want to come over and hang out with me and Shane? I was like, yeah, maybe I'll bring Violet. And then a couple minutes later, he's like, yeah, dude, tomorrow's the first night I have alone with the baby. I'm like, oh.
I was scared shitless, man.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, anybody who has a kid knows that that first moment that it's just you and the baby. I mean, you know, deep down, you know that everything's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. But it's... That's like the first moment of true responsibility in your whole life, you know? And so it's like the weight of the world on your shoulders. Even if everything's beautiful and okay, it's like, oh my God, I am a parent, you know? So that first time is a little spooky.
I can't believe I'm having a baby conversation.
Well, this is the thing nowadays. Yeah, like, you come to our studio, it isn't like, hey, it's like people talking about, like...
It was like that before.
Yeah, exactly. But it's people talking about, you know, diaper changes and, like, how the craps? Oh, are they yellow still? Yeah, well, you just wait, you know, shut it down.
You've got a song on this record, Ballad of the Beaconsfield Miners. Mm-hmm. That's a real-life song.
It's a real-life real song.
Like, it's about something direct,
it
right?
It sure is. There was a mine collapse in Tasmania, in Australia, where some miners were trapped, and this is maybe a year and a half ago, I guess. And when the rescuers first got to them, I think they sort of bore a hole or tunneled something to where they could contact them. They found that they were alive, and they said, well, until we can pull you out, is there anything we can get you? And one of the miners asked for an iPod with our music on it, Within Your Honor, our last record. And I was really blown away, you know? I was like, the guy's trapped in a mine. He wants water and our last record, you know? It's like, it just doesn't make any sense, you know? And so I was genuinely moved. And then when we went down there, so I sent him a note. I said, hey, it's Dave, and hope you're hanging in there. I hope the music helps. And when you come out, there's a couple cold beers and a couple tickets waiting for you if you want to come hang out. So then when we went down to play the Sydney Opera House, Brant Webb, the miner, came to the show, and I'd written this little instrumental, and I just dedicated it to him. And then afterwards, we had a bunch of beers, and I said, yeah, I promise I'll put it on the record. And so I put it on the record.
Nice. What was that Dylan tour like?
That's awesome.
I mean, you're on the opening for Dylan acoustically, right?
That's killer.
Yeah, I never saw him.
Yeah, he apparently just hides out, right?
He summoned Dave, and I heard that he would watch our sound checks every once in a while, but like...
We'd been on the tour for maybe four shows maybe, and someone came up and said, hey, Dave, Bob wants to talk to you. And I'm like, Bob who? And they said, Dylan. I'm like... What did I do? Did I say something bad? Or like, what did I do? And they're like, no, I just wanted to say hi. So I walked out, it was in some hockey arena, and they're like, yeah, he's right down that hallway, just turn the corner. Remember that scene from Casino?
Yeah.
Where Robert De Niro says to Sharon Stone, like, no, it's right there.
Yeah, and he keeps walking.
Right through there. The next one, right through that door where they're going to whack her. Yeah. That's how it felt. And he was like, they're like, it's right down that hallway. Take a left right there.
It was Goodfellas. And it wasn't Sharon Stone. It was the other girl, the chick who plays the girl on The Sopranos.
Yeah.
I just wanted you to get that, you know.
Thanks, Taylor.
Sharon Stone does not need any more credit.
No more credit for Sharon.
Anyway,
no,
so I walk down this hallway, just like in Goodfellas.
Ow.
And I walk down the hallway, and I turn the corner, and I just see this dude, leather pants, black leather boots, black leather jacket with a black hoodie, standing up against the wall, just like that. I'm like, oh, that's Bob Dylan, man. And so I walk up like... How about, hey, how you doing? He's like, oh man, how's it going? And we talked for a little bit, and he was totally cool. And he's like, man, what's that song, Everlong? And I said, yeah. He's like, oh, you gotta show me that song. I wanna play that. Just like, dude, you have enough good songs. you don't need your own songs, man. Yeah. Hands off my song, Bob.
But that's the same, isn't that the same song that Letterman wanted you to play when he came back?
Yeah.
It's a pretty powerful song.
I guess.
It's touring with Dylan, man.
Dude, you got to do it once in your life, right?
Absolutely.
I recommend it to everyone.
Good to see you, man. Thanks for coming
in. Good to see you, man.
Good girl. All right. Get off.